Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Wow.
It shouldn't take this long.
Welcome to the Weekend Update with Dave Dufour and Keith Parrish.
Every Monday on the Athletic NBA Show.
It did the same thing to me that it's intended to do to the world.
Ding, ding!
I have access to information that the public doesn't.
Welcome to the Daily Ding, the Weekend Update. My name is Keith Parrish. I'm here with Law Murray to wrap up the best NBA action from Sunday and the weekend. I think we'll start here, Law. Light the beam. The beam team. The Sacramento Kings have won six straight games for the first time in 1,400 games. I believe it was Brad Miller and Chris Webber. The last time the Sacramento Kings have won six in a row, they defeated the Detroit Pistons. Not exactly a powerhouse to keep this streak going, but they do enough down the stretch. De'Aaron Fox, Kevin Herter coming up big, and your Sacramento Kings, the hottest team in the NBA.
I love how the Kings are playing because they're just so powerful offensively. Like, their offense is basically that purple beam going through the sky at Golden 1 Center at night, man. I mean, they have leftover points. That's where that the energy of that beam is in those points. Like, you would think you're watching the other Northern California team when you watch this team. They especially the starting lineup, they're just so diverse with how they can score. And obviously, Fox is the guy that people recognize, and they traded a lot of pieces for Sabonis, but they have a good rookie. They have an outstanding shooter in Kevin Herter, who does more than shoot the basketball. And then Harrison Barnes is still there. I mean, Harrison might be able to grow a beard this year and actually get to cut it off when he wants to.
One of the great disappointments of my life is the time Harrison Barnes started growing that beard, saying he was going to grow it until the Kings made the playoffs. And then the pandemic happened and the league shut down. And I was like, well, Harrison's still growing that beard, right? He told me he was still growing that beard. And then he didn't. He let me down there. But you're right. The Kings have a lot of ways to score. And they're putting up tons of points every night. You say they gave up a lot for Domantas Sabonis, which is true. They gave up not so much for Kevin Herter. I mean, maybe you could have the people who would argue where they were in their team building cycle, yada, yada. You don't want to give away like a first round pick for Herter. But Herter has filled a void, a scoring wing, just an extra shooter they need. And the guy's on fire. Like, the guy is knocking down these incredible percentage of three-pointers. Look at the Hawks. The Hawks are pretty good. But it's like, why did you not also want Kevin Herter on your team? Because this guy, like, he's filling up. And yeah, the Kings are very, very exciting. It's also funny where you look like the razor's edge of what makes a ecstatic, happy narrative versus, here we go again, same old Kings. They were losing to a Pistons team that's not good. It's playing without Cade Cunningham. That was like, the Kings were on their home court and everyone's talking about, like, man, we haven't won six in a row since Mike Bibby was here. And like, they were flirting with disaster, but doesn't matter. De'Aaron Fox comes through in the clutch once again, and we can say, hey, light that beam.
Right. And that was a poise game because Malik Monk got ejected. They're down when he gets ejected in the fourth quarter. And from that point on, they flipped the game around by about 12 points. Like, when the NBA is hard. So you're going to lose some games you're not supposed to. You're going to get shocked by teams that you're trying to figure out who they were in the scouting report in your locker room before the game, you know, and the Pistons came up with points that, I mean, the Pistons were just in LA for a couple games and we didn't see those points at all from the Detroit Pistons. Okay. So that's the thing. The Kings they still have a level to get to as far as improvement. They're still a really bad defensive team. They still, you know, have to figure out how to get decent production from the bench consistently. They have good players. Malik is an outstanding scorer. He's gotten to that point. Terrence Davis is pretty good. Off night, I enjoy watching off night play defense, even though he can still be more productive on that end of the floor. They clearly don't have a defensive identity as far as their bigs right now. But man, Kevin Huerter and De'Aaron Fox, that's an outstanding pairing. And watching De'Aaron get his buckets as easily as dude is shooting 83% in the restricted area this year. 83.
He's also, last time I checked, was at 70% in clutch situations. De'Aaron Fox was. Yeah, you're right to point out the defensive issues with the Kings. Like, and as much as we enjoy, like I enjoy offense and enjoy what De'Aaron Fox is doing, he still could deliver a lot more on the other side of the basketball. I saw a Kings podcaster being like, hey man, you know, we're winning six in a row, got a good record. De'Aaron Fox is probably, you know, if the season ended now in the MVP discussion, it's like, all right, slow your roll. Okay. He's good. He's done fine. Maybe if you checked a guy every now and then, that would be cool. Earlier in the show, Law, you compared them to their buddies across the bay, the offensive powerhouse of the Golden State Warriors. Well, the Warriors got a throwback performance from one of their greats. Klay Thompson made 10 three-pointers, 41 points, and they needed all of them.
All of it.
All of it. They needed all of it, plus Steph heroics, to notch their first road win of the season over, wait for it, the Houston Rockets. So I don't think everything is fixed there, but an incredible throwback performance from Klay Thompson. His seventh career game with 10 or more three-pointers. That is the second most all-time behind his buddy Steph, who has 22. But yeah, they needed all those points to beat a Rockets team, which hasn't been exactly impressive this season.
Nah, I mean, shout out to Klay. Because obviously Klay's been going through it as far as his return to basketball and the criticism when he doesn't put up 10 threes, you know, when he barely is scoring 10 points in a game. And this is rewarding. You know, you put in the work, you care, and you get rewarded. And it wasn't just Klay. Steph hit seven threes instead of and he got another one of them contested late preposterous threes where he hit the night button on these dudes.
Watch right? Watch that clip of Steph's final three and watch the Rockets bench, the coaching staff just throwing their clipboards. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, Andrew Wiggins hit six threes tonight, and I mean the Rockets, they competed. I didn't think Kevin Porter Jr. would play tonight, and he scored 30. So, and really that's the rub with the Warriors. Their defense is bad too. You know, they foul too damn much. They lost another rebounding battle tonight. Their bench got spanked by about 10 points tonight because Tari Eason, who I'm a huge Tari Eason fan. I'll tell everybody, I'm telling you now, Keith, that dude Tari Eason going to be a problem. He had 19-8 off the bench tonight for the Houston Rockets. If anything, they should have probably played him more, you know, like I know Eric Gordon got off to a nice start, but you got to start playing Tari Eason and Kenyon Martin Jr. a little bit more than you are. So, the Warriors, they needed this one. They can get the 500 if they can get another road win. I believe they're in New Orleans on Monday. And then a big national TV game against the Clippers Wednesday, right before Thanksgiving. So, you know, a win's a win. You take it so you can build some momentum.
A win's a win. I still have a healthy respect and fear of the Warriors. They clearly have this pedigree. They've won all these titles. They have all these awesome players who have historically tormented other Western Conference teams. And yet I keep falling back to this, like Klay hit 10 threes. Steph had the fifth game in NBA history with over 30 points, 15 assists, and 7 three-pointers. And you eke it out? You scratch it out over the Rockets, who were like, why don't you play your rookies more? Like, wasn't Tari Eason good more burn? I mean, you assume they're going to get it together. Steve Kerr keeps saying, like, they look like they're playing in the Drew League. Like, why aren't you guys checking anybody? So, like, are we going to see them round into shape soon? Or maybe Thanksgiving? Will Thanksgiving break be what they need? A little home cooking, possibly? And we'll find the Warriors' defense. They'll find that identity that's helped them win four titles.
That Drew League comment was wild coming from Steve Kerr, especially since he's got three starters who've played, three rotation players, three of his top six players have played in the Drew. Like, that is a wild comment. So if they played a little bit more with a little bit more urgency, like you see in the Drew, then maybe Golden State's defense wouldn't be as bad, but I digress.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I have access to information that the public doesn't.
Also, on Sunday, the Brooklyn Nets got Kyrie Irving back, returning from a team suspension. He teamed up with Kevin Durant and Ben Simmons to take on the Memphis Grizzlies. The Grizzlies in this one, Grizzlies had a big, weird weekend where they finally got Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr. Clicking on Friday night to slow down the Thunder, who've been playing really, really well. But in that game on Friday night, Ja Morant gets hurt. So now the Grizzlies roll into Brooklyn without Ja Morant, without Desmond Bane, without Jaren Jackson Jr., who's held out for return to play procedures as his surgically repaired foot heals up. And you face the Nets. And it's hard to focus anytime you talk about the Nets on just the game because there was stuff going on off the court, which our athletic colleagues will get to more and more throughout the week, I'm sure. But the product on the court, Kyrie and the Nets took on a shorthanded team. And for at least the time being, maybe as a Nets fan, they could focus in and say, hey, at least we took care of business.
The thing with the Nets is they're going to have a level of talent on the offensive side of the ball. And it's about building cohesiveness. I think that eight game, the team that Kyrie is coming back to is obviously a lot different than the team he left, right? You know, a new coach, new roles for a lot of guys. Like Ben was coming off the bench for a while. He actually started this game because Nick Claxton was unavailable. And I thought Ben produced today. I mean, look, if you're going to put 13 shots up and make 11, I think that's a good game. You know, the Nets as a team shot 60% from the field. I think that's a good performance any way you look at it. Certain guys who were playing throughout Kyrie's entire suspension didn't get off the bench tonight. Talking about Edmund Sumner. So right. The Nets are constantly a team in flux, constantly a team that has to deal with what's around the corner. But because of the talent that they have, you have to kind of respect the fact that they can beat you. And so I know the Grizzlies are shorthanded, not having arguably their three best players, but I thought it was a good night for Brooklyn and a good night for Ben, because you know what's next for Ben going into Philadelphia Tuesday, and they going to be ready to boo that man back into the bench.
It was a good warm-up. Ben Simmons finishes the game. He has 22 points, like you said, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, also has 5 turnovers. Kyrie kind of took it easy on the court. He didn't really get that many shots up. I believe only had 5 points in the first half. He finished with 14. The big story of this game, yes, the Grizzlies were shorthanded. In the fourth quarter, it was not Kyrie who took over. It was not Kevin Durant. It was not Ben Simmons. It was Utah Watanabe. Put some respect on his name. A revenge game. Utah, formerly on a two-way with the Grizzlies, got on fire in the fourth quarter. He makes 4 out of 6 three-pointers in this one. Utah, by the way, leads the NBA in three-point percentage, and the Grizzlies could not keep up. Dylan Brooks got up a career-high 30 field goal attempts. Bless Dylan's heart.
I'm surprised that was a career-high.
Listen, he should have shot more. As someone who covers the Grizzlies, like watching that game, 35, 36, 37, it was there for him.
He got 31 out of them.
He was fine. Honestly, the Grizzlies, they played a lot of lineups that featured multiple players who played Summer League this season. Much like the Nets had turned to the Edmund Summers of the world, the Grizzlies were very shorthanded. Another game that happened on Sunday that featured a shorthanded squad was the Denver Nuggets. No Nikola Jokic, still in health and safety protocols. No Jamal Murray. No Aaron Gordon. And yet, they win. Would we call this a bizarre game? They win a slightly strange, close game against Luka Doncic and the Mavericks. What was the best thing to you about this game? Because I think it's going to be the same thing that I liked.
Yeah, it's got to be Vlatko Čančar making a two for what from 56 feet something, or something like that.
This was the bizarre play. Give us the whole thing, because this was a bizarre circumstance that I don't think I've ever seen in an NBA game.
Okay, so you remember in the Eastern Conference Finals when Max Strus hit a big three, but the referee, yes, they went back to review it, saw his heels were on the boundary line.
Heat fans still maintain they've never seen an image of Max Strus's heel touching the line, much like Luka maintains his heel did not touch the line tonight. But I'm sorry, I interrupt.
So they look at that, right, Keith? They look at that at halftime after both teams had gone to their locker rooms. They determined that not only did Luka's shot not count ahead of the halftime buzzer, but there were 2 seconds left that had to be played to complete the first half. They waited until the teams came back on the court for the third quarter to play those 2 seconds. And in those 2 seconds, Vlatko Čančar, who is playing almost solely because of the guys who not only were unavailable to start the game, but Jeff Green, he played 5 minutes and was done tonight, right? He hits this heave. So that is a, what, six-point turnaround
swing right there. Yeah.
Now, hold on with me, because at the end of the game, the Mavericks are down by one, and Luka has an opportunity to hit a game winner. He chooses to attempt that game winner from 35 feet, because of course, and it comes out, and that was the ball game. Bullock had a chance with a tip in. It wasn't much of a chance. He missed a shot. Wouldn't have counted anyway because there was so little time left at the time of the rebound. A 1-point game, Keith, decided by a 6-point swing off of a review as both teams are in the locker room at halftime, thinking that one team is up.
It was again, like I said, never seen anything like it. It's one of those few things, like most average fans, and I'll even probably say most average broadcast partners and play-by-play guys don't understand the replay rules, but like one thing you can review is shots when the buzzer goes off. And then one of the aspects of those plays you can review is whether or not someone stepped out of bounds or not. So we had this strange situation. The Nuggets are now saying that Čančar practices these constantly. He's like their go-to half-court guy. So they ran a play for their half-court shooter, this little extra 2 seconds. They pick up those 3 points there. And then down the stretch, it's got to be a disappointing loss for the Mavericks. The Mavericks have a few of these now where they've lost to very shorthanded teams. I got to also question Luka's final shot. You're only down by one. Why are you shooting a 40-footer or like a 35-footer with 3 seconds left? Like, move towards the basket. Maybe dribble once.
Here's my theory. So Vlatko Čančar is from where?
Oh, is he Slovenian?
He is from Slovenia. I think Luka was not trying to have Vlatko be the one Slovenian to hit a huge shot at the end of it.
trying to steal the headline. But it's a big win for the Nuggets, and the Mavericks are struggling just a tiny bit. Also on the weekend, let's give some honorable mentions. The Utah Jazz took care of business, won some big games against teams up in the top of the standings alongside the Jazz. They beat the Suns and they beat the Trailblazers. Also, have to recognize the Indiana Pacers and Washington Wizards, both going 2-0 on the weekend, and they have both moved into the top six of the Eastern Conference. And that's going to do us for this episode. Law, get us out of here.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding, bing, team.
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.